Right, welcome along to the 28th Manx Footy Pod of the season. Today, myself and Disco.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Colby Duro, Chris McKenna, and Marty Moore to discuss the moonlight of season, including two big quarterfinals at this weekend. Right, guys, welcome along to Podcast Towers. I should say, we're sitting in the dark here today, aren't we, Dave?
We are. It adds to the atmosphere, I think.
It's a bit seedy.
Oh, come on, they are the moonlighters. So.
Oh, see, it's as if it was planned.
It was,
yeah. It's just because one of the fluorescent tubes is pinging, so we didn't think you'd enjoy that on the back of your podcast. But
yeah, we didn't want to annoy the listeners anymore.
Anymore, good point, yeah. So, I'm just setting the picture. You know, we are in sat here in the dark. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks to Marty. He's flown in as a bit of a super sub. Kev Murray obviously couldn't be with us today.
He couldn't. He's a busy man. Got his own business. Emergencies happening. He's got emergencies at work, emergencies in the team selection for tomorrow, so
emergency is the theme of the day then. So Marty's kindly subbed in at late notice, so thanks for coming in. So Chris, I suppose it's a big weekend for the club, it's two big quarter-final
ties. Yeah.
We'll start off backwards. Hospital Cup quarter-final against your tenants, Peel.
Always going to be a tough game.
So what's the thoughts? Are you confident? You know, you've taken a point off them in the league this season?
We took a point off from the league, although we played in a bit of a hurricane that day.
It is a bit exposed down there, I have to say.
Rather exposed. They have planted trees, but they're not growing at quite the rate that was supposed to happen, shall we say. But, you know, Peel, quality side, they showed that last month, was it, against Jury?
Yeah. And
took them all the way in the cup final. I know they lost Ash, but they're still capable, more than capable of scoring goals from anywhere, out wide, from defence, from midfield. I think they're playing Kez up front now. He's bagging loads. So, yeah, it's probably going to be another backs to the wall sort of job.
Does the fact that they're, you know, your temporary neighbours, does that add extra spice to it? Or is it just another day at the office for you?
I think it's a bit of another day at the office, just because we see them down there all the time anyway. Yeah. And, you know, I've a lot of time for Falky, we always have a little chat and whatever. So it's not a needle match or anything. It'd be lovely to beat them, don't you know? But being realistic, like I said, it'll be Peel expected to win, but you know, all boys were expected to win on last Sunday, and although you know we were a bit lucky with some of the chances they missed, we're in the hat. We got Peel, so see how we get on.
So, Marty, what's it been like with Peel next door? Have you been able to pick up any tactical tips? You know, you've seen the boys here quite close.
Not really. No, you don't really see much of them. Really, if you're playing down there, you don't.
I suppose, yeah, that would be remiss if you were playing on one pitch. You'd probably get a bit of an earful from Macca if you kept looking at what their left back was doing or whatever.
The only, I wouldn't say annoying thing, but it's a bit gutting, shall we say, when Colby at home, Peel at home, and Peel have got a bigger crowd than Colby at Colby. But, you know, that's just the nature of Peel's football.
They bust them in, don't they? They come down the Ballymore. Although probably not, actually, with Foxdale shut. They'll have to, probably a two-day trip now. They have to go around Glen May and stop off at maybe Dolby.
Can't even stop at the Ballycallan.
No, it is a bit of a sad state of affairs when you can't stop at the Ballycallan, but there you go. So before that, though, the Combi team are in action in the Junior Cup. They've got Laxey.
That'll be a tough game, obviously.
I was just going to say that, tough game, because Laxey are probably one of the favourites for that competition.
That's it. I spoke to Kev. It was just a couple of days after the draw, and he said, basically, I didn't want to draw Old Boys or Laxey.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we drew Laxey.
So how do you game. Think? Yeah,
we're struggling for a goalkeeper for tomorrow. That's my fault. I'll say that now because I've picked Jim Gale for the first team too many times, and I've picked Matty Cregeen for the first team too many times. So we're struggling a bit, but I know the guys are going to give it their best shot. We played pretty well last week, although 3-1 against D&D. I'd say on another day it might have been a few more.
Yeah.
Maybe I think 5-2 would have been a fair result.
Yeah.
But, you know, hard pitch, ball bobbling everywhere, guys are up for it, anything could happen.
We had Governors Athletic in last week, we had Tony Sewell and Matty Molesworth in, and they were obviously going up against Geordies, which is mission impossible for them.
Yeah.
But they, you know, Geordies were full of praise for Governors, but both with it. And the Combi did really well, 3-1 I think in the end.
3-0.
It was a good result. And, but they're talking, you know, it's all about sort of learning from it and using it as a good experience. And is that something you think the Combi will aim to do this weekend?
I'd like to think so. There's a few young lads playing in the Combi, and some of them can be on their day the better players. It's just bringing their consistency. and as well maybe seeing how some of the better players in the league approach games. It's the same as what we've seen playing the first team. You know, the big players do the big things on the pitch, and it's trying to get guys to understand, you know, you've got to put the effort in. Take Geordie's training twice a week, most of them training the third time a week with the Ireland squad, and then they still go and produce pretty much every Saturday. That's the big difference, I think.
For you, obviously being, you know, the first team boss, you've got how many sort of youngsters are coming through the combi that you're trying to integrate into the first team?
I think we've got, I think there's 4 or 5 16-year-olds that have played combi this year. Some of them, like a couple of lads, again, consistency, maybe 1 week, one of the best players on the pitch, next week, maybe their head's not right, not quite with it. We've had a couple of lads playing with the first team at 16. I know June Convigs, I think he put something on Twitter that maybe I'll be able to retire now. I am hoping to make it to my 40th birthday, but it feels a long way off at the moment. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely ability in there. Again, like I say, it's been able to produce it consistently. And, you know, we were chatting before we started the recording about the levels, and I think going from 16 to 18 league, even to combi, certainly to combi one, and definitely to first division, massive jump these days. I said to you guys, when I was a lot younger, you know, I started training with the first team and the combi at Colby when I was 12, 13, mainly because my dad was playing, but doing all that training, doing the same stuff as them and knowing all the guys wasn't as much of a jump for me as it seems to be for the guys who are only training with 16 to 18 year olds or the under 15s or whatever, and then go to the 16s. To go into that league then is a really big jump, and it's catching a few out, I think, at the moment.
So let's look at the season as a whole. I suppose, you know, we keep quoting Mission Impossible, but it's a mission accomplished for you guys. You're in the top flight, but I think it's 13 points with a game to play. You've got above Mills. Chris, you must be delighted.
I'm absolutely over the moon. I was happy we got promoted, and obviously said to the guys at the end of the season, the big thing is we've got to stay in the league. We've managed to do that. We've got one game left. I think we've got Ramsey.
Yes, Ramsey.
If we win or draw that, which is obviously our aim is to win, but I said to the guys, you know, if we get a point or three, then push us another place up the league. So, you know, that's our next goal. And then obviously pushing on to next season, can we do it again? I just feel perhaps it might be a bit harder next season, mainly because if you look at the league, we've got Ayr getting relegated.
Yep.
And that's, I know the Northern Football seems to be a bit of a carousel at times, but they lost a lot of players start of the season, or just before the start of the season, and didn't have time to replace them. So that really weakened them. And Mills also getting relegated. But coming up, you've got Brad and Dougie Royal. It's looking like at the moment, anyway.
Yep.
The thing that worries me, they're both Douglas clubs. They've got the ability to attract more players because there's obviously more people live in Douglas and, you know, come play for us, First Division, we're in Douglas, happy days. Whereas for us, it's a bit harder to attract players. It seems that a lot of the guys who are living down south, you know, you got Russian, powerhouse of the south, basically. A lot of the guys who live in Port Erin play for Russian, that's fine. A lot of the guys who live in Castan, they're a young team, they're tight-knit, they're all playing for Castan. And so anyone who does kind of venture down south is drawn towards Russian generally because of the history of the club, you know, bigger crowd, that sort of thing. So it's the big push for us next is staying up again and maybe changing perceptions of our club.
So obviously plans are well underway for next season then. Is there any deals in the pipeline?
Oh, I wish. As I said to the guys, it's getting to the point where I'm too old to know the guys to try and recruit them. You know?
Need to get a super agent involved.
Yeah. Super agent, or try and get some of the players to kind of muck in with recruiting their mates and whatever.
Marty, have you found this season in the Premier League? Obviously, you've bagged a few goals from midfield yourself. You know, have you enjoyed it back in the top flight?
Yeah, it's been really good, actually. I think we were a bit slow to start. I think everyone's a bit concerned that maybe we would be going straight back down. But I think, we've really sort of solidified as a team. And
were you always confident you were going to stay up? You know, we obviously Ayr seemed to had that weight around their neck. They've had the points mm-hmm. deduction as well. Yeah. They always looked like they were going to go down. To be, you know, I don't wish to be fair, but it looked they looked dead certain yeah. at Christmas, to be honest. But did you guys think, oh, we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to stay up this year?
To be honest, I thought we were going to go down at the start of the season, to be honest. As Chris said, we didn't recruit really many players last summer, and we didn't start particularly well. There's a lot of unknown, really. We didn't know how we'd fare against some of the teams. But yeah, I think we really improved. Got to grips with the league quite well. And I think next season will be all right. Again, yeah. I think we might struggle to recruit players, but I think we'll adapt.
Well, there's that thing we talked about when we had the Mills boys in, funnily mm-hmm. enough, that they seem to always be stronger in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
especially for a club like Munich Mills, where they're bringing kids through all the time, yeah. it takes that few months to get yourself head around the league, isn't it? And, mm-hmm. and you guys now have a season together.
Yeah.
And what we've touched on in our pre-season previews before is sometimes it doesn't need loads of influx of players. If you can keep a tight 11,
yeah.
15, what, 16, whatever, yeah. and play the same players that know each other's game, that's a massive benefit in itself.
Yeah. The hard part is obviously keeping everyone injury-free.
Yeah.
If you've got a smallish squad like we have, you know, keeping everyone injury-free. I mean, we've had lads that have stepped up from the combi and made the transition into the first team almost seamlessly in certain respects. That's helped us out massively. And we had a couple lads came back from being at uni or working away. That's had a big difference. So, you know, we have improved as a squad, but it's not from outside. It's always kind of like Colby boys coming back
yeah.
or Combi boys going up. But coming back to what you said earlier about the starting slowly, I was talking to Jim Collett, who's been the captain this year, and he said, you know, we started, it took us a while, not even to know about the football side of things, but just to acclimatise to the physical effort and being prepared to make your body hurt or, you know,
yeah.
lung busting runs and do it time after time. To go from where we were last season to get to where we are towards the end of the season, it was a bit of a learning curve, and I think that's where we have finally twigged, you know, that's what's needed.
Yeah. You say it was a slow start to the season, but do you think the Peel draw was a bit of a catalyst? Do you think that was when, you know, you really got some belief and
yeah.
thought, well, you know,
I think I think definitely for the players, but for me, more so, I think when we went down to Lexi and pinched the 3-1 win.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
That was, you know, everyone was absolutely over the moon that day.
So, the question for both of you, start with you, Marty, that what's the difference you found from playing in Division 2 to the Premier League? Is there a massive gap there now, guys? Is it, you know, we talk about Brandon Royal coming up, are they going to be hit with a massive reality check, or what would you say? Because you, obviously you've got, when you've come up, you've probably gone from playing teams that you've beaten 5-6-0 every week to now trying to grind out a result, you know, most weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I think in the second division it's a bit split. I'd say the top half of the second division can compete with the bottom half of the first division quite easily.
Right.
And then you've got teams which maybe aren't so competitive down in Division 2, which you will win sort of 8-9-10-0.
Yeah.
So that's a big step up from those sort of games. And the games against like Geordies, Corinthians, Marys, they're quite a challenge. But I think once you've had a few games in the first division, you get used to sort of the competition, sort of the quality of the players. So you can adjust and acclimatise to that.
It's a common question here, but what do you think about the idea of three leagues?
Not too sure, to be honest. It would be probably more competitive because the likes of Geordies do easily beat the lower teams mm-hmm. in the first division. And I'd say that the top sort of four or five maybe in the second division would compete really well with the bottom four or five in the first division. So I suppose that in itself is a league. Not sure about the bottom half of the second division though. That might be a bit, I don't know, people might lose interest.
Yeah, well, we were talking about last week with Governors, and they were quite against it, weren't they?
Yeah.
We were saying, for the points we made before, that they want to test themselves against mm-hmm. the better teams. That's the feel that the only way they'll improve. And we you know, we played Devil's Advocate. We said, well, you'll be playing teams that are of similar or equal ability. You know, they're going to have closer games. You're going to have mistakes are going to be punished even more, you know, sort of thing, because you if you lose to Douglas and District or whatever, you're going to slip down in that league.
Yeah.
But they were very adamant that they want to play the better teams. And
yeah. I think for me personally, I would prefer to be, although it hasn't happened this season, going to places like Peel, you know, little stadium, beautiful little ground, playing away there, playing at the ball at St Mary's, Rushen, another cracking venue, going down to St George's. The, you know, they're the games you want to be playing in.
Yeah.
So I think I personally would prefer to be playing, although we might get a good hammering every now and then, prefer to be playing against these guys, because that's, as you say, that's how you test yourself, that's how you improve.
And have you had to change, you know, going all Conte on you, have you had to change your tactics this year, the way you approach matches?
I think so. I think, to be honest, as Mike said, you know, in the season we got promoted, we finally clicked attacking wise. You know, obviously it helped, I think Jim Collett scored 30 odd goals.
Yeah.
But we were scoring much more goals. You know, I think we hit double figures a couple of times, which generally we don't do. We would always in the past, we'd play lovely football, but never be clinical about it. So we might win 4-1, but, you know, last season we were winning 13-2 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that was nice. But going back to the point we made just before about that, raising the effort level and your willingness to push yourself, I'm not saying that's what happened in the Brad and Peel game in the Cup, but I think it's that learning curve. If Brad and played Peel 5 or 6 times, I don't think they'd lose 8-1 again. Just maybe they got caught out once.
Yeah.
But they're going to have an adaptation period. I'm sure Dougie Royal will as well. But we have to make the most of that and make sure we start fast. So if they do, I'm not saying they will for definite, but if they do have that sort of slowish start, we kind of need some points on the board to make ourselves a bit further away, a bit harder to catch.
Would you have an advice? I know you probably don't want to give away your trade secrets, but you know, if you're saying to, you know, the clubs that are coming up, you're gonna have to learn to play with 5 across midfield rather than.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've approached it different ways this season. We've had, I think, we've played 4-5-1 to start with, but we weren't posing enough an attacking threat, so we went to 4-4-2, which made us a bit easier to score against, but we were scoring more goals. I think against Ramsey, we were towards the end of the season, maybe just before we started playing, before we played Ramsey, we started playing 4-3-3. Well, you know, went 1-0 down at Ramsey, changed it to 3-4-3, trying to get back in it and pinch 2 goals at the end. And then we played 3-5-2 against Old Boys on Sunday, managed to somehow win that one. So it's just a case of you've got to play to your strengths.
Yeah.
Our strength generally has been a good defence, and we've got a bit of pace up front, so that's what we've tried to play to.
Well, Jordan Primrose-Smith has been one of the standout young players in the league this year, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's won Young Player of the Month at least once, I think, hasn't he? And, you know, you sort of tend to play to him, as you say. You've got that pace up front.
Yeah. Well, he's always an outlet. Yeah. I mean, even against Old Boys on Sunday, they were absolutely peppering us, you know, the last 20 minutes. Somehow, I don't know how, again, that they didn't manage to score a second goal, but we always had a little bit of an outlet, even if it's not the most accurate of passes.
Yeah.
You know,
he'll make the defenders Jordan's, work.
He's got that pace to just kind of almost get the first touch to it most of the time. There's not that many defenders that will be able to keep up with him.
Yeah.
I certainly can't, that's for sure.
Right, now to our Dave's favourite part of the week. It's the raft of Twitter questions we've received for you guys. As always, there's a shed load, isn't it, Dave?
There is. Do you want to start us off?
Yes, we mentioned him earlier. June Convig has tweeted in, any chance of Macca returning calls, my calls or texts?
Generally, I only return calls or texts to people I like. No, you know, I'm only joking. He's done well for us this season, actually, Kenny. But he can be an annoying at times, so sometimes you just got to get on with it.
Right, well, Hattie, one of our favourites as ever, he's tweeted in, with the facilities in place at Colby, do you believe that the infrastructure is there to be a top club in the South?
I think if he's the top club.
The top club, sorry, yeah.
I think it's going to take a lot to surpass Rushen, purely because they've got, as we said, the history. they've got at the moment the players, they're top three or four in the league. Yeah. You know, again, another team that's taken Jordy's right to the wire in extra time. You know, they're there or thereabouts. For us to do that, we've got the facilities, but then you've got to be able to attract the players, and the players, the most important thing is what happens on the Saturday afternoon, not necessarily where you're training on a Tuesday or a Thursday. So the chance is there, but it's going to take a long time, I think.
I think it ties in with another question that last week's guest, Tony Sewell, tweeted in, and he said, do the facilities have any pull on players when they sign for you?
Well, as we've touched on in the podcast earlier, we haven't really signed anyone.
Yeah.
The only player that signed for us in the summer was Andy Bleak, and he played for us the season previous to the one before that, if you know what I mean. So he'd left and then come back, and his brother plays for us, so I don't know. I'd like to think the facilities would have a pull, but I think it's more a geography thing to guys who live in Douglas. I know there's a lot of guys who've grown up playing for Colby and they've moved to Douglas to buy a house and they still play for Colby, but it's a bit different when you've always played for Colby than living in Douglas and trying to persuade people to come down there when they've never played for Colby before. Obviously, the facilities might play a part, but again, I need to get some phone numbers or whatever, get the guys working the phones, see what we can produce.
I was going to say, but Colby is an area that is expanding. You know, obviously, you look at the development on your old ground.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there are people moving into the area. Perhaps it's time to go door to door and see if you can rustle up. Johnny Hogg, famed referee.
But different question this
week.
Consider yourselves lucky.
We won't mention his usual question.
No, don't need to.
Has Chris Neen definitely retired from Masters football? Fußball? I went German then.
Fußball.
Who knows?
Who knows?
There's only one man who knows the answer to that.
Yeah.
He says he retires every year, so...
Some scoring rate in Masters. He played a few comedy games this year as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he even played in our last game of the season for the first team last
year.
Wow. Yeah, the reason he scores so much is he never passes.
Brutal, honest.
Gary Lineker of Manx football.
Yeah.
Go your next question, eh?
Well, Tony Sewell also had another question in before, but I think we know
the answer. We all answered that as well, didn't
we? We know the answer, yeah. But do you have any spare keepers not in a regular game?
I don't know if we have actually.
No. I don't think so.
So it seems to be a dearth of goalkeepers at the moment. I watched the Junior Cup. I think Peel had the same issue you guys had because they've had Kirill and Owen Dawson. Kirill Velev and Owen Dawson have
both played for the first team
and Combi, therefore were ineligible for the Junior Cup. They had to play Chris Looney, centre half, right back, or whatever he was in goal. Yeah. I have to say, old boys didn't actually test him really.
Surprising.
But yeah, so is that Junior Cup qualification, you know, becoming harder in a way?
Possibly. Because it seems that way for goalkeepers anyway. But I think it's just one of those things. We had, you know, Jim played well for us last season. Didn't do much wrong this season, but just Matty came back to the club in the summer, considering he hasn't played for a few years. His level of performance has just skyrocketed, and it got to the point, as I said, Jim hadn't done anything wrong, but I couldn't keep Matty out of the team any longer.
Kredge, my old cricket captain, an absolute whiz between the behind the sticks as well. Amazing wicket keeper. You can see why his reflexes are pretty impressive. But yeah, every time someone has covered Colby, they've always mentioned Kredge's.
Yeah, he's a really good keeper. Yeah, seen him a few times this year.
Some dodgy tattoos though, hasn't he?
He's getting more and more. <Yeah. laughs> I think, although his major downfall is the fact he's a United season ticket.
Yeah. So is he getting to many games or?
He gets away to a lot of the Europa League, right. And he goes, if there's a match on Sunday, he'll be gone.
Right.
And he's only missed one Saturday game for us this season.
Right.
But he gets away as much as he can,
Fair enough.
Absolutely fanatic.
Paul Jones, one of your old, you played with him Russian and...
Yeah, Russian under-12s, Casa Russian team, and Russian, it'll be about 10 years ago now.
He asks, Chris, how much do you credit your early involvement with ballet with your poise, balance and effortless movement on a football pitch?
Well,
he actually says, I forgot to put this in, you were Zizou-esque at points.
Well, that's very nice of him to say so, although I thought he might have known that it was tap dance, not ballet.
It was it? Yeah. Oh, right, okay, right.
So quick movement of feet, though. Have you actually watched a lot of the movement training now? It's a lot about fast legs, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And,
so you're ahead of the curve in many respects.
I was, although I think I finished dancing when I was 12. Although you could argue my football's gone downhill.
So Marty, he hasn't tried to convince the team to do any tap dance.
No, maybe some yoga.
Well, I know one of our vets players, Mark Boyd, he's a yoga teacher, and I know people who at work who've started doing yoga, and they say it's made a massive difference. So again, you know, something like ballet, you'd be amazed at how strong the legs are and flexible.
Yeah.
The ballet dancers, so I don't see why I couldn't do your football any good.
So here at First Station Grounds, we'll be having a yoga mat fitted.
Full length mirror and
I'm sure Dickie love that. Oh, yeah. Polishing that off every week. You trained with Wooden the other week and you nearly...
I thought he was going to kill me. Yeah. God, he was there with his huge mop. I thought that was
off. He's very protective over Colby's facility.
What a legend.
Rightly so. Yeah, an absolute legend of the club, Dickie.
Big time.
And sidecar racing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just for the hell of it, yeah. Paul Jones also asks, Chris, what do you enjoy most about management? What frustrates you the most?
What frustrates me the most, generally, is living in Peel, but coming down to Colby for training, is when I can, well, I'm not working, get down for training, and I've driven 20 minutes, but some of the lads maybe can't bother driving 5 minutes from,
right,
or Aaron or whatever to get there. That's frustrating. What do I enjoy most? I don't know, actually. I have enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. I think it's maybe just the realisation that my playing career is winding down. I'm trying to deny it, but I think it is, you know, there is a lot of satisfaction to be had for maybe setting a team up, giving them a few instructions. It's not detailed in my case. You know, do this, don't do that, hoof it, that sort of thing. And, you know, we've seen them grind out a win.
That's... Can't beat seeing Marty bomb it up and down the wing either, can you?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you say, you know, he's sat next year, but what's he like as a boss?
Yeah, good.
He's got to say that.
Yeah. That's you playing on Sunday. Yeah.
It's been good, to be fair.
Is he more of a hairdryer or an arm around the shoulder manager? You know, is he... it was a bit of both.
In between, I'd say.
Say I was more of a hairdryer player than a manager.
Yeah, right. I'd say
it
that,
gets
yeah.
to the point where, you know, as a player, I've having gone away and played like in uni with a lot of really good players that have played at, you know, Celtic or QPR or whatever. On the pitch, there's no prisoners or whatsoever, so you just have to get used to that. So you just be shouting and bawling at each other the whole time. But you kind of get used to it. Whereas as a manager, it can be counterproductive. So sometimes, although I'm absolutely furious, I've just got to take a few minutes and then go in and just try and talk in a nice, calm, collected manner.
Well, everyone reacts differently, don't they? You can't have one rule for them all, can you? So.
I should say, generally, I'm more of a hairdryer player than the manager.
Am I suppose, what's been the highlight of your season? The win at Waxy, was it particularly, that was
good. And the point against Peel, I think, was pretty good as well.
Yeah. The infamously bonus points then, aren't they? You're targeting the teams around you and you get 4 points from, you know, two good sides.
It was bonus points because I think at the time we hadn't played. We played Douglas Athletic and Ayr, and we'd lost to Douglas Athletic and we'd beaten Ayr. I think maybe we got that point against Peel before we went to Laxey. Yeah, but then when we went to Laxey and won, that was massive. Like I say, because we still had to play Mills twice, Ramsey twice, and then. Or maybe did we beat Athletic first? I can't remember. I think maybe we did. We beat Athletic.
Yeah. It was a good run, I remember that. Yeah, you had to put a good run of results together.
That the first game between you guys and Athletic, I was down for that one. Mm-hmm. And that, I've said it many times since, but it could have gone either way. I think you guys hit the post or the bar 30 seconds before they scored, and they ended up winning 2-0.
Yeah.
It's fine margins, isn't it? But in the end, thankfully you've stayed up.
Well, I say these are the ones that are going to count, and more so, I'd say, next season, because no disrespect to Ayr, but I think... the two teams that get promoted will both be stronger than they have been this season.
Be interesting to see if Glover's still
Glover, yeah. Andy Glover, when he was in the podcast earlier in the season, said this was his last season. We'll have to see if he sticks to his word or he fancies a crack at the Premier League. We're talking of goal scorers. It'll be interesting to see what Dean Tate does in the summer. Obviously, he's had it tipping him all year, haven't I? And he's scored 17 goals for that team, which is no mean feat.
No, not at all.
So it'll be interesting to see.
For Ramsey next year, then.
Well, it'd be frightening to see what he could score in the Division 2 if they've got a half decent team.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But it's, you know, it's the individual whether he wants to stay in the Premier League or go down with the. And it has to be said, he seems to have played quite regularly for that team. Because, it's probably get the boys' view on this because turning up, getting tonked every week can't have been fun at all.
Oh, no, wouldn't have been.
So, a lot of people we've spoken to have said fair play. They've kept actually turning teams out.
Don't get me wrong, I mean, when we played them up at Ayr, I think we won 10-2. But they scored the two best goals of the game. It was ridiculous. You know, like two absolute, literally, one-touch football, cross, header, bang. And I was just like, well, I can't complain about that.
Well, Dean, if you're listening, I'm sure Andy will make sure you get a weekly mention next season. No matter where you're playing.
The amount of pounds you owe me for these weekly mentions. Right, before we look ahead to the weekend's games, here's a word from our sponsor.
I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started.
Right, guys, we're still joined by the Colby Giro, Chris McKenna and Marty Moore. We're going to have a look ahead to this week's matches, starting with the Junior Cup on Saturday. It's quarter-final time, Dave. A few big games about, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, the second game we'll come to is the big one, but I think this first one is a tasty little match as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Colby, obviously we talked about it earlier, playing Laxey. Laxey, probably the favourites for this, because they seem to have a good team qualified for this Junior Cup.
They do, there's a lot of strength in that squad, and they showed it against Oakland last week with a big, big win, but away at the Station Fields, and...
If there's a bit of a breeze,
you're almost guaranteed a breeze down at Station Fields, I think, aren't you? Like I say, it's going to be a big ask for us this weekend, but... You know, I know Kev will have the boys motivated. They'll give it their all, no matter whether they win, lose or draw. It's just a bit daunting, shall we say, looking at some of the guys who've played or scored for the Laxey team. There's definitely a couple of Grand Slam winners in there.
Yeah, Johnny Callow, Gary Williams have done the sweep before. Daryl Hazlitt.
He can't stop scoring.
They're not bad for a left back with a beard. Who else? Johnny Palmer seems to be having another Indian summer on the end of his career. Plus,
Joe Walters is back in loads of goals at the moment as well.
Max Murley, I think, is playing as well. Yeah. So, they are a decent outfit. Paul Callow's got his team playing well. It was a coupon, I have to say, boys, I'd be putting a two in my coupon box.
Yeah, I think so, but this will be a lot closer than it was for Laxey last week against Oakland. I think this could be quite good.
I'd like to think so, anyway.
Yeah. Big game at Blackberry Lane, arguably the tie of the round. Old boys taking on Rushing, one of your old clubs, Chris.
Yeah.
They always seem to do well in the Junior Cup, don't they? They obviously do, holders this year.
I don't know, I know it was a bit different last year because I think Mike Williams arrived back on the island. He was qualified for the Junior Cup, so he was a massive bonus for them. I'm not sure what their team's like this season, but I know that Russian, their combi, on their day, will beat anyone.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, like you say, that's definitely a tie of the round. And I know Old Boys have won the league for like 3 years running.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is... like Clash of the Titans down there.
I think that's what you put your headline, wasn't it?
Yeah, Clash of the Titans. Well,
was it?
Good to know that you read the indie. This could be a potentially huge game. I mean, Rushen won the final last year 4-0 against Peel.
Mm-hmm.
Defending champions, most successful team in the competition. They're going to be confident. But Old Boys, you know, they're playing well.
They'll be interesting who's in goal from this week. Drew played last week, but he's another Russian legend in himself, isn't he? John Ward could be playing back in between the sticks to play against his former club. So as we talk about Andrew Moody, you know, the doyen of combination football.
Oh, yeah.
Had a brief spell at Colby, didn't he?
Very brief, yeah.
That was 08, 09 when he won the Premier League, was that?
No, this was the season after that, I think.
But he's a goal scorer. We talk about goal scorers today, but he's always going to be a threat around the box, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he'll score some of the best goals you've ever seen. And he'll score a load of tap-ins, so, yeah, he's literally the fox in the box. I don't know who I'm going to tip for this one, because had Old Boys not drawn 0-0 with Peel, I'd probably gone with them, but that makes me just doubt it a little bit.
I think they obviously it was a good performance last week against a Combi 2 champions, Braddon. They made them quite comfortable in the end, wasn't it? 3-0. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Old Boys, you know, a Blackberry Lane home advantage, maybe that.
I think home advantage will be a big part of this game. I think they'll just about sneak through Old Boys.
Extra time?
Possibly.
Yeah. We did well with our predictions last week, we should just say. Mm-hmm. Didn't we? You got Foxtel Pulley, you said that would go to extra time. Mm-hmm. I said Owen Stewart would score, he did against Colby in the Junior Cup. So
the amount of silly predictions I make, I'm bound to get at least one right.
The scattergun approach works.
I'll be controversial, I'll go for Russian after extra time.
Marty, what do you think?
Don't know. Old Boys maybe, just shading it at home.
It's going to be close, so he'll be there. There'll be YouTube clips galore heading your way from tea time on Saturday. St George's St Mary's, another close game. Geordie's youngsters against a slightly more experienced St Mary's team.
Yeah, in previous years you'd say St Mary's would win this one, but Geordie's have had a nice steady season. They've progressed steadily. Obviously had an influx of players, which has helped. I think home advantage again in this one will play a big part. It's going to be close. I wouldn't be surprised if this went to extra time either.
You were saying Mike Williams had a help in their Russians run to the final last year. James McStay seems to have come back and turned from combative midfielder into goal-scoring sensation, doesn't he?
Absolutely. He's the glue that holds that team together when you've got so many youngsters, Johnny Quirk and all them around.
I'm not sure if I'm right or not. Is Callum...
Callum, I think you're right. I think I've heard that as well. Callum could be it. So that's
if he's available, him and Johnny up front, Macca in the middle. Yeah, it's pretty formidable.
Yeah,
he loves a goal against St Mary's, doesn't he?
So. Yeah, St Mary's did well. To be fair, I thought they might come unstuck against Castletown last week, but it was 3-1 in the end. Fairly comfortable. Dean Spencer's banged a few goals this season, so he'll be one to watch for their attack. So I'm going to go with Geordie. They're probably going to. Just have enough in the locker for that.
I think so too, yeah.
Chris, you reckon Geordie's?
Yeah, I think Geordie's just.
Marty?
Yeah, I go Geordie's, yeah.
Unanimous, so St Mary's are going to win.
Yeah, basically. The final, quarter-final tie sees St John's take on near neighbour Foxdale at Mulney Cloy. St John's probably favourite for this. There is a division between the two of these.
Yeah, there is. I think Foxdale are mid-table in Combi 2, I think. So, there is quite a divide between them. St John's, yeah... I think they'll win this one quite comfortably, to be honest.
It's another goal scorer we should probably give a mention. Callum Wade, a young lad at Foxdale, scored quite a few goals this season, so he could potentially be one to watch in this one. St John's, though, they've had, after an indifferent few weeks in the Combi 1, they seem to have picked up a bit of form in this competition.
Yeah, I think a bit of renewed confidence will do them good now, and they'd like to get a run into the semi-finals with this.
I think we mentioned it last week, that was to be a new first team management duo there next season. St John's, Rick Holden and John Holworth are taking over.
So
these players are sort of almost, it's time to step up and prove.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was talking to Rick recently, and he's just saying... the guys at the club and the committee and that, they're very open to new ideas, suggestions. So he says he's looking forward to the challenge.
And another club with great facilities as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We've talked about it before, boys. Obviously, have you played under the floodlights there? I think they've had.
We have.
How do you find it? Some people don't like it, some don't.
I'd have liked it more if we didn't lose 5-1.
I liked the actual playing on a Friday night. It's quite good.
The only thing that annoyed me that day, apart from the result, was living in Peel and working at the airport, I drive past St John's regularly. Generally, it's a well manicured pitch, and then we turned up for our first Friday night game. They hadn't cut it for about 2 weeks.
So you think they'd cotton on to your one touch passing football? And
well,
done a John Beck and walked the corners.
Unlikely. Let's say it's unlikely.
Two big games in Division 2 on Saturday as well. Dave, started at the game I'm going to, Douglas Royal Braddon.
Huge game.
Braddon are now probably favourites now, aren't they? Having had a lot of ground to make up, it's theirs for the taking, isn't it?
It is, and obviously they beat Royal just last 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So full of confidence for this, especially having won the Woods Cup as well. I think a win here absolutely guarantees them promotion next year. Although it's all but now, yeah. I think. You know, yeah. I think we only need a point, really,
yeah.
don't they?
Yeah.
Douglas Royal, though, they'll still be smarting from that defeat a couple of weeks ago. They'll want to set the record straight. Aaron Quinnell have had them working hard in training, so
I think this
could be a good game.
Gold Cup to come as well. I mean, we talked about it last week. You want to finish the season with a positive result, don't you? Because you can have the hangover over the summer otherwise, can't you? If you lose your last game, especially to a rival team like this, it can.
I'm not sure how the league looks in Division 2. I mean, if Royals win it, can Braddon still win the league?
Yes.
Is that right? Yes. Braddon would have to win all the remaining games.
And they've got to play Foxdale, which is always a tricky one.
Royals' last game of the season. So I think would a win put them 10 points clear with...
No, 7 again, I don't think it is now.
Right, yeah. But obviously we've got 3 games left after this.
But to be honest, I think this game, if Royals winning it is their best chance of winning the league.
Yeah.
So they'll be up for it big time. Mm. But then, you know, Braddon have got Andy and
Connor
and Stu Pacey's been playing really well.
Man of the match in the Westcup finals, do we? Yeah.
So they're always going to score goals.
And of course, Andy's hunting down his brother's silver boot record of 62 goals. He's on 50 something about now. So
got another 4 against D&D in midweek.
Yeah, so there are many added things on this. So. You know what? I'm going to go for a draw.
Oh.
Sit on the Ballard Fletcher fence and go for a draw.
I'm going to go Braddon purely because Andy's going to be gagging to score as many goals as he can.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no better finisher in the division.
Marty?
Probably get Braddon as well. They're in good form.
Momentum's with them at the moment, isn't it?
In that case, I would just have to say Royal, just.
Mr. Quinn will be happy with you, Dave.
Yeah.
But another sort of Castdown are still in with a shout at the Gold Cup, aren't they?
Yeah, they're still well placed.
And they travel to Port Rose on Saturday. We were just missed out. They're a few, I think they're fifth or sixth now. So.
Yeah, both sides have had really good seasons, has to be said. You know, Paulie had a bit of a tricky start, but they came up on the rails a bit, and they've had a good second half to the year, I think. Castletown, you touched on it before, they're a close-knit group.
Yep.
They're a young side. You know, they obviously lost in the Woods Cup final, but they gave a good go of it against Brad, and they were actually winning that game. I think this one might just end in a draw, this one.
Yeah, I think I'd tend to favour Pulley, but it all depends on what 11 Paul Guyver can get out, really.
It depends on which Pulley turns up.
Yeah.
Rather enigmatic, I think is how you describe it. I know
Mercurial was when they had Dave Skillen et al. Playing.
Last season when we got promoted, I think if we'd have beaten them at home, that was it, done and dusted. But they came down and it was 4-4 draw or something. Yeah. They scored the last kick of the game, which was gutting. So, like I say, on their day, they're very, very good.
Yeah. Mark, what would you...
I'd go draw, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a good title.
But Joe would keep Castan just in the hunt, would it? I'm trying to think my league table.
Yeah. Foxdale will still be ahead of them, I think. Yeah.
It's Onken is the rival for this fourth spot, and I think they've only got one game to play left, whereas Castan have got two, haven't they? Got another game next week.
Yeah, Onken have had a couple of bad results recently. They're missing a few players, to be fair, to the end of season, really. I think the training numbers have dropped off slightly.
Is it harder to get players out at this time of year, boys? Or is it, you know, people like us?
It's definitely a motivation gap, shall we say, between the start of the season and the end of the season. Even myself, I'm feeling it now.
Mm.
It's getting to the stage where I feel like the guys aren't quite 100% purely because it's been a long season.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point now where I know guys were saying on Monday and Tuesday their legs were aching. The pitches are so hard.
Yeah.
You know, although we haven't had the greatest of weather, we haven't really had any rain. You know, the pitches are hard, it takes its toll. I've said to the boys myself a lot, you know, at the start of the season, I love nothing more than a midweek game, 6 o'clock, half six kickoff. Come the end of the season, absolute nightmare. The pitches are bumpy, dry, rutted.
Mm.
Legs just need to rest.
Yeah. Just can't.
Well, that's the players' point of view, Marty. You know,
I'd agree, yeah. I just sort of get to this sort of time of the season where you just feel like, need a bit of a break.
Had enough football.
And then you find you got another game on a Sunday.
And of course, you've still got this rearranged league fixture to be slotted in at some point as well.
And like I say, we're desperate to get a point at least out of that one.
Mm. So you can't switch off.
Trying to keep the energy levels up.
Well, talking of with Coca-Cola, obviously you're and Sunday night we've got the quarterfinals of the Craig Hartstrong Foundation Hospital Cup. You're up against Peel. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about it in the podcast. I think this will be a close game. They only won 2-1 at the week against Mills.
Mills, are much, much better than they were early in the season, though.
Right.
I don't know what's clicked for them, if they've got new
pressures off. And,
yeah, maybe. But, they were a totally different unit, even from 2 months ago when we beat them 4-1. Mm. We played them again 3-3, but they were 3-1 down at half-time. And they just seem like a breath of fresh air compared with what they had previously.
Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, Peel, Colby. My only doubt is that I think we might have used most of our luck for the season. So some of the chances that Old Boys missed, literally any other Saturday would have scored.
Mm. All it takes is a couple of missed chances for Peel early on, and the boys will start thinking, "Oh, maybe it's our day again."
We're at the stage, against Old Boys and against Peel, got to be clinical. Literally, if we get a chance, we've got to take it. Otherwise, we showed at the weekend we scored 2, and it gave us something to hold on to. Whereas you get 1, you're unlikely to get the result. It's got to be 2 or more, really.
I have to say, Peel are probably one of the better defensive units in the league. Even with a relatively inexperienced goalkeeper, Owen's had a good season,
he's
done well to displace Kirill, who is, a very experienced goalkeeper at that team. So you're going to be feeding off scraps in that respect. Don McGreevy, April Player of the Month
they're on a good run of form, so we'll give it everything and watch this space.
Marty Moore winner last minute.
That'll do me.
Corinthians rushing game you're hopefully going to go to, Dave.
Big match this. I think this one could go either way, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to extra time. Corinthians obviously on the back of their best ever season.
It would be nice for them to. I think I keep coming back to it, but they'll rue not getting into that Railway Cup final. Yeah. They were at their best against St Mary's in that semi final. It would be nice, I think, to top off this great season they've had in the league with a final appearance of some sort. Rushing aren't going to be any pushovers, though, are they? Such a talent. But we talked about Mike Williams. They've got good players 1-11, haven't they?
Yeah, big time. I mean, both teams have got real quality players. I was talking to Steve Ryden recently, and the only thing he was saying is that Rushen have only had one game in the past, feels like 4 or 5 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Which may help Corinthians.
Yeah.
But then again, and I think Rushen beat Corinthians in FA Cup, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2-0, was it, I think? Yeah, it was 2-0.
I know some of the Rushen lads said that Corinthians weren't really on it that day, but to beat Rushen, you've got to be on it, otherwise you don't.
Absolutely. I mean, Rushen were pushed all the way last week by St John's that went to extra time, one did. It was a Matty Kane winner in the second half, extra time, that did it. So, they're going to have to play better than that if they're going to get something
I think. Corinthians equally had a fairly straightforward 3-0 with it, Youthy. Sean Doyle's going to be a big figure in this game. If Rushen can get to grips with him, Alex Maitland and Aaron Woolley at the back. Sean's had a great season. He's rightly on the plane to go to Gotland, isn't he?
But also on the plane is Chris Cannell, when he's got a big job against Mike Williams.
It does look a great game now.
It does.
should be a good game in this one. Marty, which way do you think this one will go?
I don't know. Both good attacking, both good at defending.
You've played both. Which game did you find the tougher?
Home to Corinthians. That was a bad day. That wasn't great. Lost 7-1. That was the one point in this season where I thought we might get relegated.
Second half to Corinthians, actually, in their first game at Corinthians, who were dominated, I think.
Right.
Somewhere else, to be fair, could be more.
They're very set up to attack. I know you've got Sean.
They're very well coached. Mm. Both teams are. It's almost a coin flip.
Mm.
I'm going to be unpopular. I'm going to say Corinthians purely on Rushen's lack of game time.
Right. Well, you heard the podcast last week, we were talking about Air, who'd had 9 weeks without a fixture before last week's Hospital Cup match.
Blimey.
So that we worked out is almost the equivalent of a pre-season. Because they finished their league on time and then they got a bye into the first round of the Aussie Cup. I mean, it was just...
Probably would have been difficult even finding a team.
Yeah. Like. How do you keep a team together for that? So yeah, that looks to be the tie of the round possibly. Douglas Athletic go against St George's. Now they played each other in the FA Cup not long ago.
You were at that game, were you?
They were. Athletic frustrated them for the large part of an hour, and then as always, Athletic finished like a thoroughbred. Sorry, St George's finished like a thoroughbred, scoring several goals in the last sort of 10 minutes. It's tight the pitch down there though, yeah. At Springfield.
That'll make a big difference.
Springfield Road, so it's going to be, I don't think it'll be a hammering, but I think that we'd still have to favour Geordie's because they've got this Grand Slam.
It's inside.
That's incentive.
It's
almost touching distance, isn't it?
I think they're only three games away.
Yeah, what an achievement it would be if they do it. It's just incredible. But Athletic, they'll take a lot of confidence from that previous game. I mean, yeah, as you said, it was well into the second half. It was 1-1.
Athletic have a system in which they play to as well. Mm-hmm. Big target man up front.
They're always a handful on their pitch, aren't they? I think they knocked St Mary's out of the FA.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
Well, the winner, the person who got the winner in that game, Conor Dowell, he's back now. He's mm-hmm. he scored again the other day, so he's a massive boost.
Oh, yeah, he's an absolute handful. I wonder which game he's going to play. He might even play.
He can play. He'll be scored in both teams last week.
Yeah.
In the junior and hospital cup, you get players at this time of year that are played across. I think we had an email this week from John Batty, Sid Batty's dad, who plays for Geordie. He didn't want me to give him a mention, but I'm going to. And he played five games last week because he played in the under 16 cup or something like that, the Cow Cup, the junior cup, and I think he was on the bench for the first team as well. So
we've got lads now playing. You know. Talking about trying to get subs for the combi, for the first team. Last week we had, I know we scraped the win against Old Boys, but we only had two subs because lads who have been on the bench recently were playing Junior Cup, got knocks.
Mm.
And then, you know, there's the young lads that played Cal Cup Monday, Thursday. You know, some lads are playing a league match on the Wednesday play the Junior Cup, and then maybe go on the bench in the hospital cup.
Yeah.
It's a lot of games.
It's five games.
To be young again.
Yeah. Possible 25 game month, which is more than the league season. I'm going to go with Geordie's in this one, but Athletic will make it hard for them.
I'll see Geordie's, but maybe only 2-1.
Marty, what are you saying? Obviously, you've played at that tight pitch at Springfield.
Yeah, it's hard up there, to be honest. And they're quite a good unit, Douglas Athletic. I think Geordie's will shade it, but it'll be close.
Yeah. Finally, Laxey take on Moran, don't they?
Yeah, that should be
the last representative of Division 2 in the competition.
Yeah, flying the flag high, Moran doing well. And they go into the back of a big win against Onken last week, 6-1. And Onken, as we know, have been one of the surprise packages this year. So for them to turn them over like that is no mean feat. They'll have confidence, but Laxey, you know, they're there for a reason, aren't they?
I still think their combi team obviously are rightly favourites for the Junior Cup, but their first team, you know, they're a bit Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they? Obviously, you guys have turned them over this season. They've beaten some teams. I think they had a cracking game against Rushen, which I went to see, one of the games of the season. But Andy Ball had and Dean Cairns, to be fair, both had great games that day. And they can mix it with the top teams, but on their days they do come unstuck. So
it's a bit like Liverpool, really.
So Moran, you know, they can take some heart going into this one, can't they?
I think they can, yeah. And, you know, they've got a good squad, Moran. I think the emphatic nature of that win against Onken, you know, they'll be, you know, brimming with confidence. And if they can go there and play their own game and not be fazed by the fact that it's Laxey they're playing against, you know, they may be able to pull off a shock.
Any tips for beating Laxey if Dave Brew's listening?
Hope they miss a few chances against us. As same as our Old Boys win, you know, they missed a few chances that another day probably would have taken. I think no fear.
Mm.
You know, I know they're a division above, but I think really, if Moran can approach it with no fear, maybe the doubt will be in the Laxey minds because the pressure's on them. They have to win, you know. There's a semi-final waiting for them. They've, you know, so to speak, oh, we just got to beat Moran. Well, you know, if you're not on it, then Moran have got a chance, haven't they? And especially, as you say, coming off the back of a big win against a good second division team in Onken, so...
And Marty, what's it like? Oh, we were talking about this, playing on a Sunday night. You know, how's that? It's completely different to Saturday afternoon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not ideal, to be honest. I think.
Does it hang over you for the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, you've been waiting for it like all Saturday, all Sunday as well. Really, it's I don't know. It's just frustrating.
It's a bit different this week with it being a bank holiday.
Yeah.
You know, the guys can go out for a few beers afterwards, but generally, you know, people are waking up for work on Monday morning all aching and sore from playing on the Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Although obviously it's a tradition, isn't it? Tradition. Yeah. It's 5 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah. Right in prime songs of praise.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's a bit of a shame because, like, say, if you go out and get a great result, you can't really celebrate it that much. You can't go for a few beers. You can this week, but
yeah,
it might be lively down the Colby pub this week.
Colby Glen, yeah.
Either Peel or Colby will be celebrating, won't they?
Yeah. Right, guys, thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Good luck over the weekend.
Thank you very much.
And for the what remains the rest of the season, I know you've still got a league game to play. You're the last game in the Premier League this season. So.
Yeah, we're the only ones left, aren't we?
Yeah, so you can.
I'm hoping it's soon. I like the boys to have a bit of a break between the pre-season and the end of the season.
Before the yoga starts. Hot yoga starts. In there.
Yeah, hot ballet yoga.
Yeah.
Tap dance as well, yeah.
Copyright that quickly, Chris. You'll have all the Jurgen Klopps will be all doing it next season. All right, I suppose we say well done to all the footballers that tackled the London, Marathon last weekend. I think Steve Downward was the quickest, wasn't
he? Fantastic, just over 3 hours, I believe.
Dorsey did 3:15,
Mark Berman did well.
Who else was there? Eric Lee, obviously, and of course we heinously forgot to mention last week, Stephen Oates of Rycob and Ramsey fame.
Did really well, yeah.
He was just under the 5 hours, so well done to all of them. I don't know how or why he did it, but
I think there's still a guy in a gorilla suit that's still doing it now, isn't
it? Is it?
Yeah, he was raising money for charity and he crawled around.
Absolutely barking mad. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Right, so also congratulations we should say to Corinthians, who won the Women's League for a sixth time on Thursday evening with a convincing 9-1 win over Old Boys. So well done to Anna and all the girls up there. Obviously, she was one of the first podcast guests back in.
Absolutely.
In September, wasn't it? August.
She's now won it a record 9 times, I believe.
Something like that. So well done to her and the girls. Obviously, the Women's FA Cup has been postponed. Final has been postponed this week between Peel and Douglas Royal. Hopefully, we'll get one of them guys for the podcast next week.
Fingers crossed, yep.
Remember, you can tweet us day and night at Manx Footy Blog with all your questions and inane
abuse,
yes.
Yep.
Well, you can find all the podcasts at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, or of course, they're on iTunes. Right, until next week.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.